Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Today's podcast of The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
More than a quarter of female military veterans say they've been sexually assaulted while serving in the armed forces. And with 200,000 women serving in the military, that's a large enough problem to attract the attention of Congress.
Mr. Dominguez, this is an oversight hearing. It's an oversight hearing on sexual assault in the military.
That's John Tierney speaking to Michael Dominguez from the Department of Defense. The Oversight Committee asked to see the head of the Pentagon's sexual assault unit. Dominguez refused to allow her to testify. And that ticked off Congressman Henry Waxman.
What is it you're trying to hide? Mr. Chairman, the Department of Defense has a history of covering up sexual offense problems. And I don't know what you're trying to cover up here, but we're not going to allow it.
The rate of sexual assault in the military is much higher than it is in the general population. You can't hide from that. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It is Thursday, February 18th. Todd Zwillick is here with me, filling in while John is away for a little longer. Good morning, Todd.
Morning, Celeste.
And, you know, the takeaway for me is it's always a tricky issue when you're coming down to military subjects as to who actually has control. How much control does Congress have to dictate the policies of the military?
And in a time of war, the military chafes at being directed by Congress. But this case, they should probably have no choice. Let's get right to some of the stories we're following this morning. Eight out of the ten American missionaries arrested in Haiti are waking up this morning in Miami after they were freed yesterday by a Haitian judge. Eric Thompson, the husband of one of the freed missionaries, says he's looking forward to seeing his wife again.
It's been difficult, but at the same time, God has lifted us up and kept us encouraged and helped us through this.
Also today, the Haitian government is expected to announce its plans for sheltering over a million people left homeless by last month's earthquake. In Afghanistan, we're learning this morning of the arrest of two Taliban officials. One of the arrests was a result of information gleaned from the captured Taliban operations chief, Mullah Abdul Baradar.
Here at home, President Obama is pushing ahead with plans to jumpstart the economy.
Millions of Americans are still without jobs. Millions more are struggling to make ends meet. So it doesn't yet feel like much of a recovery.
Our partner in the New York Times is reporting that the president and the Senate are close to a deal that would create an early warning system for this nation's financial system. A council of regulators led by the Treasury Secretary would look for excessive risk-taking and imbalances by banks. It was the best day for Americans ever at the Winter Olympics with six medals, including three golds. Lindsey Vonn shook off her shin injury to win the women's downhill. Shaun White picked up another snowboard gold. And Shawnee Davis took home his second straight gold in the 1,000-meter speed skating event.
It's my moment. It's my party. I can, you know, like the girl says, she can cry if she wants to. I can party if I want to. It's my party. I can celebrate. I can dance. I can do whatever I want. I earned it.
U.S. now has 14 medals. Next in line is Germany with 10. And as we talked about a few moments ago, sexual assault continues to be an issue in the military. More than a quarter of women say they've been assaulted while they were in service. Democratic Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez joins us now. She's the highest ranking woman on the House Armed Services Committee. Welcome to the program, Congresswoman. Do you think recruiting methods have contributed to this problem?
I think when we look at recruiting, we have to figure out if there is some way in which we can see that propensity. Now, one of the problems, as you know, that we've had in recent years when we were competing for people, when we needed more people to come into our military because many did not want to come because we are in two full-blown wars, is that, you know, recruiters would do almost anything to get somebody in, and they weren't looking, they weren't even looking at the fact that some of these people may have been alleged rapists. So we need to do a better job of what we're doing when we're recruiting also.
Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez, stay with us. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Looking at the markets, the Dow will start at 10,309. S&P opens at 1,099 and the NASDAQ at 2,226. Futures are mixed.
Oh, sorry, Celeste. Also this morning, we're looking at programs that want to have kids graduate early so that they can go to college. What about the 11th graders you know? Do you know any 15-year-olds who would be good for college? 8778-MY-TAKE.
Female service members have been testifying this month before Congress on the subject of sexual assault in the military. More than a quarter of women say they've been sexually assaulted or raped while they were serving. We're back now with Democratic Congresswoman Loretta Sanchez. She sits on the House Armed Services Committee and represents the Anaheim area in California. Welcome again to the program, Congresswoman.
Thank you.
Representative, I wanted to start the interview by playing a clip from your colleague, Representative Jane Harman, and she's talking about a number of very striking cases of rape in the armed services.
A female military recruit is pinned down at knife point and raped repeatedly in her barracks. During a routine gynecological exam, a female soldier is attacked and raped by her military physician. Yet another young soldier, still adapting to life in a war zone, is raped by her commanding officer. Afraid for her standing in her unit, she feels she has nowhere to turn.
Representative Sanchez, are these typical stories that you're hearing as you look into this issue?
Well, those are not the typical stories, although we've heard of plenty of doctors who hit on or sexually harass or in some cases rape our military women. The more common issue is a lot of harassment, and in particular in deployment overseas, our military women being raped by our military men quite a bit, usually in the evening. You know, we have a policy, and we've had for several years now, that women must go in the buddy system to the restroom. Most women will not go to the restroom at night because that's when most of the attacks are happening, for example, in the combat arena.
They're being attacked by their fellow soldiers and sometimes even their officers of higher rank. And that's a sad comment on the state of our military when they have to go to the bathroom with a buddy because they can't feel safe.
Not only do they have to go with a buddy, they're commanded to. In other words, the commanders know. They know that these women are being raped. And by the way, once you're identified as someone to have been raped, word gets around, and then you're raped more often. And so you just have a really tough time coming back into the unit. Most times you're discharged, or if you decide to go through the prosecution process, it's very difficult. We just had a hearing where there was an alleged rape. And then the next category was, okay, what was the dispensation? What happened? And then it would say the guy committed rape. And then the next thing was, okay, what happened to this person? And it says, oh, this person was demoted, or this person was sent to another unit. I mean, that's ridiculous. We need to prosecute these people and put them behind bars.
The BBC is actually working on a series that focuses on women in the military, and they spoke to one woman who served in the Air Force in 2006, and she herself was assaulted. Here's what she had to say.
You're supposed to carry your weapon at all times when you're in a combat zone. And I put my weapon down and walked away to go smoke a cigarette. And that's when I was attacked. I felt like if I kept my weapon, maybe I would have been able to do something. Maybe I would have been able to prevent it. No punitive actions were taken against him. It would be my word against his.
So, Representative Sanchez, when you speak with military personnel about this issue and you hear stories like that, what do they say when they hear a soldier saying, I wish I'd had my weapon with me?
It's ridiculous. Most women out there understand that if they get raped, there's going to be almost a 0% chance that this is going to be handled correctly. There are three pieces to this whole issue of rape. The first is the culture. This should be a zero tolerance. There should be no rape going on by our military men to our military women. The second thing, we need to have the laws that actually go after these guys and allow them to be prosecuted. About 4 or 5 years ago now, I changed the laws to reflect the laws that we have for civilians in the United States. Why aren't they using them, and what do we need to fix to get this done? And the third thing is how a woman's treated when she's been raped. Is she going to be backed up in the system? Are people going to believe her? Is she going to be treated the way she should be instead of like this young lady said, I put down my weapon to go smoke a cigarette. I got raped. I couldn't go and tell people I got raped because then they were going to give me demerits and they were going to get me out of the military because I wasn't supposed to put down my weapon. Can you imagine that? You get raped and you can't go and tell somebody about it because you're afraid that person is going to tell you, oh, I got to get you out of the military because you were never supposed to put down your weapon.
I'm wondering how, if you feel like the rate of assault in the military reflects the rate that's in larger society. The BBC spoke with Dr. Kay Whitley. She's the director of the Pentagon's Sexual Assault and Prevention Response Office that was set up in 2005, and this is what she had to say.
Sexual assault is a national problem in the United States. It's not just in the military. In fact, we're told it's one of our nation's most underreported violent crimes. So since we recruit from the society we serve, we believe it's also a problem in the military.
What's your response to that?
I don't know if it's more in the military or less in the military than the civilian forces. I do know that rape goes on throughout our nation, that it's an incredibly ugly psychological attack on a woman. So I wouldn't tolerate it in either the civilian or the military.
My last question for you, Representative Sanchez, you are the highest ranking female on the House Armed Services Committee. Do you feel like there's an understanding with your colleagues in Congress over the seriousness of this issue and the urgency for getting it fixed?
As you know, our Congress is 83% male. There are certainly plenty of men now who have a good understanding, seeing their granddaughters and their daughters, that they would not want this to happen to them. And so there's more of an understanding going on. Of course, the women have always understood this to a large extent. The problem exists when people say, well, men will be men and women shouldn't be in the military. And what do you expect when we make a killer machine? And they've got aggressions and they've got to get those out. And I've actually heard these types of comments from some of my colleagues. That behavior and that thinking is unacceptable. And that's one of the things we have to change in the Congress also.
And that is Representative Loretta Sanchez. She represents California's 47th district. She is, as I said, the highest ranking woman on the House Armed Services Committee. Thank you so much for joining us. I don't know. Did you hear the end of what she said?
I did.
I mean, there's some of our serving congressmen think that boys will be boys. I'm stunned by that.
I'm stunned by it, too. There are, the Congress, as people say, is a reflection of society also, and there are a lot of minds yet to be changed in Congress, just like across the rest of the country.
I still can't help but be shocked by it. For more on the topic of sexual assault in the military, by the way, you heard on the during the interview, we interviewed Marty Ribeiro. She was the young lady we heard the clip from who served in the Air Force and was deployed to Afghanistan in 2006, where she was raped. You can actually go to our website to read a blog posting from her. You can read a chronicle of her experience at thetakeaway.org. Now it's 15 minutes past the hour. Let's check in on the top headlines.
The head of Toyota says he will consider appearing before a congressional committee looking into the carmaker's recent recalls. Meanwhile, the Transportation Department is getting ready to open another investigation into Toyota. This time it's looking at complaints about power steering in their Corolla model. Yesterday, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood reiterated the message that his department will hold Toyota up to careful scrutiny.
We will not sleep until every Toyota is safe for people to drive.
The head of Toyota had previously said he would not appear at congressional hearings looking into Toyota's recalls. Meanwhile, the White House says it's seriously pursuing companies that try to pass off regular employees as independent contractors. It says the crackdown will yield at least $7 billion over the next decade. Companies who engage in such practices avoid paying Social Security and Medicare and unemployment insurance taxes for those workers.
That's not the only crackdown. The Federal Trade Commission says it's looking into con artists who target the unemployed with bogus job placement and work-at-home scams. It says any ads that promise job listings in return for upfront investments is likely fraudulent. Let's look at some of the stories that we're watching this morning. Coming up, a new report says 8 states are earning an F on managing their citizens' pensions, and we're going to tell you if your state is one of them and why. It's in a few minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Takeaway Podcast. If there's a story you think we should look at or a conversation you'd like us to start, drop us a line at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.